Lifestyle Matters. It's More Than Money. I'm Faisal Karmali, and filling in for Dave Popowich is Rob Gary. Rob, welcome.
Good to be here.
We've had a very, very different type of week, and we're going to have very different guests on this show today. We're going to talk about a couple things. First of all, have you ever thought about living on the ocean?
On the ocean?
Like retire, and now you're sailing around the world. That's what you do.
I can't say I have. I honestly can't say so.
So we're going to talk about how people are actually doing this, and it's even cheaper than retiring and living in this city.
God. That's wild.
You can go around the world cheaper than if you were living in this city.
All right. If that's the case and it's warmer all year round, count me.
Just run it by your wife first. Let's make sure she's okay with it. Your plans are never your plans. You have to find out what she wants, and then you're going to do it.
I will say this. If they have babysitting on the cruise ship.
I think when you're retired, they call that assisted living.
Is that cheaper on a cruise ship?
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to talk about that. That's going to be fun. There is a professor out of Boston University who has been pounding the table and saying retiring early is the worst thing you can do. So we're going to bring him on the show. We're going to hear him out. We're going to maybe even have a nice heated debate about why people retire and should they. He's saying absolutely not. Plain and simple, don't do it.
I got a lot of clients, potential clients, that would definitely say differently.
Yeah, totally. And so let's talk about what he says on that. And I think that was, when you look at this week, in the markets, on the business news, the one thing that hit out was the Jackson Hole conversation on Friday.
It was the holdout all week, Faisal. It was the, let's just wait for what Jerome says on Friday.
Yeah.
It was interesting what happened on Friday morning, right? The market kind of, I would say, had a bit of a pause on Thursday. Friday, we had a little bit of an uptick. And then, boom, he came out with some pretty confident talk that the U.S. is now going to actually cut.
Yeah. And what's interesting with this one is whenever the Federal Reserve speaks, there is a lot of algorithms, and we'll call it AI, that picks up on certain words that he says and then trades the market accordingly, which is why you see a bit of a spike right after he says a certain word or his one sentence and so forth. It's what he came out with was not surprising to us.
No.
And kind of let me backtrack a bit here, because when we were like on the show about a year ago or towards the beginning of this year, we kind of laid out our thoughts about what's going to happen. We did say that most likely the Bank of Canada is going to cut first. And they did. We also talked about how the Federal Reserve's not going to cut in the first half. It's going to be deferred to the second half. It's not going to be as aggressive as what the markets were predicting. And they haven't cut yet.
What'd you say there?
They haven't cut yet.
Before that? What the markets were predicting.
Right.
That's a big one.
And that's the thing. It's a prediction of what's going to happen. Just like after the Jackson Hole initial commentary, the markets assumed, oh, for sure, we're going 100 basis points cut by the end of this year. Let's go. And everything kind of just went positive in most areas.
Previous to, though.
Except for the American dollar.
Yeah. The market, right, pre-prices in in the weeks leading up to this.
Right.
Right, that there was at least going to be three cuts, but we have to wait till he sees, and then there's going to be an overreaction.
Right. The market reaction is based upon what the market believes is going to happen 6 to 9 months in the future. They're not anticipating what's going to happen 5 years down the road. They're just saying 6 to 9 years, like 6 to 9 months down the road. That's it. So it's, of course, like saying, you know, this is what we thought. Now we've got more information, so we're going to react to it because we're only thinking out 6 to 9 months. Well, that's a lot of stress to be thinking about how a value of a company is based on the next 6 to 9 months.
Right.
Which I love, because that's where mispricing of investments come into play, and we can capitalize on that. But I think that there's a big issue. And then hidden behind all this anticipation for the Jackson Hole commentary, inflation in Canada.
Well, it's a good news story, right? It came down.
Yeah.
This was a good news story.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, some of the items that you're going, we all go to the grocery shopping. You're going, it doesn't feel like it.
Right.
Right. Certain pieces are starting to slow.
And it's not going to feel like it for a while, because our anchor to pricing is pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I remember when this price of this item was X. Now it's more than X. So I don't care if it's slowing down. It's still more than what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Or what I remember it to be.
I did find it interesting, though. It is interesting to find those numbers when they come out and say, what is coming down? Because you're right. You do not feel it.
Yeah.
Here's the supply and demand that comes in on the Canadian side and the economy, right? The vehicle sales and prices starting to come down.
Yeah.
Vacation prices. There's a demand in the summertime of not as much demand as expected. Vacation prices starting to come slowly down.
Here's what's not in the inflation numbers. How about labor disputes and strikes on railway, airlines, a hailstorm that shuts down WestJet partly?
Well, they could just give us a number. It'd be much appreciated.
Here's what concerns me, or what gets me going a little bit. When the whole labor dispute between the railways and the labor unions, and the threat or the view of a work stoppage, or even a strike, the government didn't get involved until after they were ready to stop working.
Yeah, they waited a day.
So here's where I have confusion. And I'm not an expert in this area. This is purely my emotion speaking. The government gets involved when there's a stoppage, mm-hmm. not before. And then they kind of push them to go to binding arbitration. Why do we even have to get to this point? Why doesn't it just become that if you're going to be in a place or in an industry where it has this kind of impact to the country, just go automatic binding arbitration.
So truthfully, very little benefit of a union at all.
No. The union will still represent the case of the workers. Mm-hmm. But the whole drama that leads up to it, think about all the impact that happens. If this was not done in the time frame it was done, you've got companies going, oh no, we're not going to be able to ship our goods. Now the Bank of Canada has to think about, is there going to be a short-term impact on inflation? Mm-hmm. If you got a pilot strike coming in, now people can't have that freedom of movement within the country, forget about outside the country. Shipments of goods on airlines may get stopped, cargo. Mm-hmm. This is not like, if the government has to get involved at some point, well, then just have a process that bring your case to a judge the minute you want to go into a contract renegotiation.
Yeah. Because it always comes up in the fight of the middle of this and drags it out as to what is essential service, what is good.
There's too much collateral damage, I believe, when you have these issues and then the government steps and says, okay, we're going to send you to arbitration. You guys couldn't figure it out yourself. Your kids couldn't play nice. Now we're going to send you off to the principal's office. Like, just go to the principal's office to begin with and get this over with.
But for the public and companies and employees, it's not just one day disruption, right? Huge number of disruptions. It's increased, right? We had the conversation. I said this morning, who's next, right? Who's potentially next? Air Canada.
Could be.
Right? It's been a massive number of these.
Right.
And we said, why? Right.
And you're using the business or your customers or the cargo or as bait.
Yeah.
To get your results. We're going to stop you from working. We're going to strike, whatever it may be. I'm not picking sides here. I'm just saying it doesn't make sense to me. And so people are concerned about this. There could be impacts that go bigger than this. And that's why I think we need to have a proper approach to when we have these types of disputes, like binding arbitration right out the get-go, present your case, move on, let's go.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah,
it's fair.
Okay. Now, a lot of people are concerned about everything that's happening in retirement, and you may want to think more about your retirement and your retirement planning. And we have a seminar coming up to discuss the impact your retirement and some of the solutions that you can have that can help you reach the goals you want to have and the lifestyle you want in retirement. When do we have that seminar?
Next one's coming up in Calgary. This will be on Tuesday, September 10th, 7 p.m. in person at the Carriage House Inn. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com or connect with us on Facebook to register.
Retiring early is the worst thing you can do. We're going to talk about that next on QR Calgary and More Than Money.